when you look at every successful man and woman, what they have acquired to succeed, that is the greatest accomplishment, greatest asset in their work and producing success, is not the skills they acquired, is not the education they acquired, is not the experience they have, is that they acquire the ability to pay attention. He said, attention, and I want to explain this. Attention. Attention, he said, is the distinguishing factor, all right, in people. Now, what do you mean by attention? Let me just give an example. I'll give three examples. The last one, you might debate, but I will explain something. All right? Now, you don't find anybody or a scientist, this is what attention is, that is getting breakthrough in science, that is doing any other thing apart from sitting in the lab and attending to science. Are you from saying? They have no social life. They don't have anything. They sit down there, and all they're paying attention to, that's attention now. They don't know anything. If you ask them anything, they don't know. All they know, all right, is that matter that they want. The clothes they wear, you look at the combination, you know that this man is not paying attention to what he's putting on. You know straight. The only thing they're paying attention to, all right, is that very thing, that problem they want to solve. That is all that is on their mind. I heard Roger Ailes, the late Roger Ailes, died a few days ago, who built Fox News. Whether you're on the left or on the right, doesn't matter. It became the most powerful voice in shaping the mind of Americans, politically speaking now, in the last 20 years. All right? Whether you feel they're shaping wrong or right, but that's the fact. Right? And when they did an interview there, he sat down, and I was listening to this. After he died and they were showing some things, he said, when we started Fox News, he said, I thought about nothing else but building Fox News. No other thought came into my mind. Now, I want you to understand why Paul said, think on these things. No other thought. Now, many people pray, but they don't get the thought part when it comes to, because that's the result. God begins to pour out thoughts, thoughts that bring peace. He said, I thought about nothing else but Fox News and how to, now whether you like what he's about to say, but this is what he said, all right, how to reduce my competition to zero. He said, that's all. I was thinking how CNN will be non-existent. Now, that's all I had bought in my mind. All right? And he said, that's how we succeeded. Then the last person I'll talk about, and you might first of all chuckle, is Arsene Wenger. Hold it. Let me finish what I'm saying. And one day, somebody told me that Arsene Wenger wanted to buy something. And he asked somebody, where are the shops in London? And he's been in England, London now for 21 years. I think it was about 16th year. And he said, don't you know any shop? He said, I don't know anywhere. Apart from my house to Emirates and back to my house and back to Emirates, he had never been on Oxford Street. Arsene Wenger. You say, but Arsene Wenger did not succeed. That's where you're chuckling. Now, let me tell you something. You Arsenal fans, hear me well. I was on a flight from Frankfurt to Lagos. And I sat beside a lady, and we got talking, and she knew Jose Mourinho. And she said Mourinho said to her that Arsene Wenger is under one mandate in Arsenal. Number two things. Number one, make money. Number two, just qualify for Champions League. That is all we want. And hear this, and make sure the football is entertaining so people come to watch. That is all. So those guys are not about winning championship. It's about making cash. Arsene Wenger, hear me, that's why they can't sack him. He's under, listen to this, he's under instruction. Listen what I'm saying. He's under instruction to buy young players, and they do that. Buy Fabregas, 600,000, sell him 37 million. Those guys they don't like football like you like football. You are a fan. They are businessmen. What they are interested in is cash. They might not even watch the matches. You don't know. They will sit down in the house. So long as the till is ringing, grah, grah, and the pounds are coming in, Arsene, you are good. So if you ask whether he has fulfilled his mandate, yes. They are liquid. Cash. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Let's go on here. Now, so the cultivation of attention. So you Arsenal fans, just when you are playing, just say, don't say we won. Just say we are the richest. We are the most liquid club. All right. We know the business. You guys are in debt. We know the business. We are good. Just be saying that. All right? The power of attention can be more readily, now I'm getting to what I'm saying, understood by comparing it with a magnifying glass in which the rays of sunlight are focused. Right? So you hold the magnifying lens here. They possess no strength. So the magnifying lens possesses no strength as long as the glass, all right, as long as the glass is moved about and the rays are directed from one place to another. Yeah, what I'm about to say. But let the glass be held perfectly still and let the rays be focused on one spot for any length of time and the effect will be immediately apparent. Let it be held on one spot for any length of time and immediately you begin to see results. Therefore, here is task number one. Among the many things you want to happen, choose one. If you cannot choose one, you are at risk of nothing happening. Now, with all your goals, your desires, take only what? One. You want supernatural advancement? Jesus said only one thing is needful. Choose one. That's the decision you have to make. Which one? Choose. It's in your power. You say, well, but I want to increase in salary and money, and I want to get married and believe God. Choose one. Either say I want an increase in salary, and then figure out with more cash, I will get a better woman, if that's the way you see. Or you reverse it, I get a woman, and two will be in agreement, and chase 10,000, and I'll get a better job. But choose what? One. If you cannot choose one, you risk nothing. If I tell you to chase 5 rats here, you won't catch any. If they start running different directions, that's why people are scattered. That's why nothing happens. Choose one. Listen, in 2 months, it will happen. After 2 months, you can go to something else. And when you get the result, you will know that all things are possible to you. This is what I want you to get. Choose, are you following what I'm saying here? One thing. That's why I said it's not difficult, but it's hard. One thing that you want to happen, 2 months. And do this thing I'm talking about. If you have 5, if you're chasing 5 rats, even when one turns and starts heading your direction, you think he wants to attack you. You're chasing 5 rats, and while you're chasing, God, we just see one appear from underneath the table, and it's coming for you. You will jump thinking that they have organized to attack me. If you are the first ever platform we did, and Pastor Ebukwu Sugar spoke, said, let me tell you why people fail in business. Said, how many of you have been in business here 10 years and over and you are having problems? He said, come forward. About 5 people came. He said, how long have you been in business? 10 years. How many businesses have you been in? 5. You? 6. You? 4. You? 5. He said, stick to one. When you break through in one, it's kingdom principle. All the others start coming. So let that power be displayed by scattering your thoughts from one thing to another. As someone said, but my children, listen. If you have a good, you have a good job, it is a rounded job. Let me just take that now. Pays well and it's rounded. Doesn't sap your time. You will have time to be with your children. Your children will not grow up to become great by you just kneeling and praying for them. Is by you spending time with them. For the Bible says, train a child in the way that he should go. When he grows up, he will not do what? Depart. It's by impartation. So you choose. There are many things people are praying for that is not by prayer like that it happens, but implementation of the principles of God. Let that power be displayed by scattering it from one thing to another, and no result is apparent. But focus it through attention on a single purpose, for any length of time, and nothing becomes impossible. Once you have selected it, hear what I'm saying. Let nothing or no one interfere with it. The die is cast. This is where my face is set on. Once you have selected it, there is something I've selected. Every revelation I get from God concentrates the thoughts on that particular thing. I can show you from Frisco, from all over the Bible, that pumps energy into the fulfillment of that thing. Are you following what I'm saying? So I open the Bible, any message I hear, all right, empowers that thing to happen. So when I'm declaring it as an existing reality in my life, I'm feeding that confession with thoughts that are coming out of God. All right, the thoughts are saying, because of this, and I'm confessing the word of God, but he zeroed in on the fulfillment of this particular thing. Then number two, understand that you are a spirit being. And that the real you, all right, is your spirit man. And understand that your body, what you have on the outside, is not the real you. Neither is the mind the real you. But the body is the means through which you carry out, all right, the real you carries out its purposes on the earth. So you are a spirit being. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God in Christ. Inside you, all things have passed away. All things have become new. That man is seated together with Christ in heavenly places. He is a person of authority with eternal life on the inside of him. He has never experienced defeat. He has never experienced failure. All the things that happened in the past or are happening now that you can say is defeat is because, all right, he has not been fully involved. You have been making use of your mind without understanding your identity in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? No demon can subdue him. That is, you are the righteous. That's the real you. All right? And then your body is given. That's why the Bible says the spirit, the body without the spirit is dead. So you're leaving the body to express certain things. But then you also understand that the primary way in which you, that's the spirit man, carries out its work is through the mind. And I'll show this in the word of God. That the most marvelous power you have is found in your ability to think. That this is how it works. Your body is linked to your soul, and your soul is connected to your spirit. If the spirit tries to get the body to do something, and the mind has not yet been persuaded, you will fail. Because the body takes its instructions from what is in the mind. I'll show this. All right. And then the mind waits on the spirit to dictate or to sharpen, all right, the direction in which it goes. Once that is done, then it passes the message to the body. All right. And then the body fulfills it. That's why Jesus said, if a man commits adultery, it's not when he physically does something. Once it happens in his mind. He says, because if you keep something in the mind repeatedly, it's going to happen in your body. That's why the Bible says obedience is a thing of the mind. Every thought to obedience. Which means that once obedience is complete in the mind, the body has no choice. It will go in that direction. Look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. Paul said in verse 22, I delight in the law of God in my inward man. After my inward man, that's the spirit man. But I see another law at work in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So the body, you see, because the body still believes things that the old person is still there. When you got born again, your mind wasn't changed, your body wasn't changed, it's your spirit that was changed. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, how am I going to get rid and get this body to comply? I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then with the mind, I myself, that's myself, the spirit man, I serve the law of God. So if I understand that it's with the mind I do this, I will serve God. Well, he said, if I go into the flesh, all right, and try to get it done, right, and just want the body to do it without the mind getting involved, he says, I will serve the law of sin. I've given this example before. When I got born again, I'm a new creature in Christ. All things passed away. Life of God in me. But I still had a problem smoking. So I tried to stop. Send the desires of my spirit man to my body. The body did not comply. Until I understood something. I started pacing and I started declaring. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Inside me, all things have passed away. All things have become new. I zeroed in on that cigarette problem when I said all things. Smoking has passed away. I've been crucified with Christ, and the desire to smoke has left me completely. I started saying it. After some time, while I would say it, I will see myself walking past the malam in Marere Hall who was selling cigarettes in Yunlag, and walk past him and go down and then come back again and walk past him without even thinking about smoking, as though I had never ever smoked before. After some time, I realized one day I'd gone 3 days and I had not thought about smoking, which means my mind had been what? Renewed. And he has sent the signal to the body, it's over, no more smoking. Do you get what I'm saying? But when I just said I'm born again, I was trying to do it, trying to do it. You know, one man, and this is what I'm saying, people are trying to build on the outside what they've not built inside them. One man who was jumping higher than others, they said, how come you can jump this high? He said they run to the bar and try to get their body over it. He said, but I sit at home, and in my mind, I see myself go over. He said, once I've gone over inside my heart, when I get there, my body will follow my mind. Look at James chapter 3 here and verse 3. All right? James 3 and verse 3. It says, we put beads in horses' mouth, which means we put things in their mouth, and God is telling us this is the system. We put the word in your mouth that they may obey us. That obedience is in the mind. It says, bringing every thought to obedience. All right? So you put something in the mouth of the horse, it obeys you, changes its mind, and says, I'm going to do this. And then when it does that, we are able to turn about the whole body. So God puts his word in your mouth, and then he says, it gets into your mind, and then your body reacts. So when we were created at the beginning, all right, the Bible says that man, God breathed into man and he became a living soul. The Hebrew translation says he became another speaking spirit like God. In other words, this is how the spirit operates. When it gets thoughts from God, it speaks out those thoughts as realities in its life, existing realities. That's why it says we have the spirit of God and not the spirit of this world, that we might know those things that are freely given to us, which things we speak, not with words that human wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost, which means he says it, because in the spirit realm, what is. So he says it, that this has happened in my life. This is who I am. This is what has happened. Now, the mind that you have is the old mind, and the old mind is harboring the thoughts of the old man. So the old man was used to, where did he get his thoughts from? Got his thoughts from the environment, what authority figure said, who he was, what the parents said, who he was, what teacher said, every suggestion that he got, all right? Another place where he got it was by birth. When I was talking about neural pathways, and I was talking about where people get generational curse from, and how things pass from one generation to another, and they tested mice and found out that if they put them through some traumatic experience, let's say fire and all of that, and another set, I don't go through a traumatic experience, that when they have their siblings, right, and when they have the children there, and those ones begin to come out, the ones that come out of them, without them experiencing those things personally, will respond the same way, subconsciously to fire, even though they never had it, which means that it passed through the genes to them. And that's how people say generational. Something comes into, all right, people at the place of birth that can come from parents, that could come from something that has shaped that. So that's one place. And then the environment suggestion. But the new man is coming from God, all right, but he has to get that mind to understand that a new governor is here and is no longer the old one. So look at James chapter 3 and 4. Let's go to the next verse. So it says this, all right, quickly, James 3, 4. It says, behold, also sheep, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, are turned about with a very small hand whithersoever the governor listeth. So let's say the governor is the spirit man there. He says, I'm in charge here. And he says, so how am I going to turn everything in this life in the direction in which I want to go? He says, all right, the tongue is the way I do use it. He says, even so the tongue. The next verse, verse 5, even so the tongue. All right, so the tongue is a little member that boasted great things. Right, so he says, here is how I get my things done. I call it into existence as though it were. Now, I want to get this business to this level. That's what they've said. The spirit man says, it is at that level now. And starts calling it as though it were. Sets it at this point. We said last week, if once you begin to move, the ship doesn't move. As you're turning the helm, it doesn't move until you set it. When it's set there, then suddenly the body of the ship moves there. So you start saying it, and you don't change what you're saying. Thoughts are coming from God of peace concerning that. You are declaring it. Revelation is coming, you are declaring it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you hold it, and you keep declaring that. Now, the first time you start, and you are saying it, it is very difficult. Then after some time, you go through it again, it becomes easier. As God begins to feed your faith, easier and easier and easier to accept. Not that anything is changing yet, but you are there, morning, night, right? There was something they said, well, this thing is totally different from what I'm going through, totally different. I heard Kenneth Hagin say that when we give people in Christ-led life scriptures, we found out that if they keep saying it after 29 days, they tell us that their lives are totally transformed. Then I read something in a NASA book, scientists there, and they said in NASA, they gave them inverted goggles because they wanted to see when they get into space and all of that, how the world and everything is upside down so that their body gets used to it. So they told them to wear the goggles and everything was upside down. And people started out, the scientists, and had terrible headache the first 3 days. After some time, the headache disappeared. Then when they got to about between the 25th and 30th day, those that had it constantly up, on, the world was no longer upside down, it became right side up. And we could use the inverted goggles there and now be walking. Which means if you removed it, then what they were seeing, which is normal, becomes upside down. Which means the supernatural, if you keep seeing it, becomes the norm. The norm becomes the abnormal. If you keep seeing it, what you said cannot happen in 3 months becomes what should happen. What people say cannot happen becomes an abnormal thing to your world mind. But it says those that took it off for any period of time, it did not work. They had to start again. So when you start, that's why I said choose one thing. When you start declaring, morning, afternoon, evening, every wicked moment, that's what you're saying. You are not changing it. That's what you're saying. You are praying. Fill me with the knowledge of your will concerning this in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I walk worthy of you concerning this unto all pleasing. And as the thoughts are coming, that's what you, God starts feeding you with revelation from the scriptures concerning that thing. You keep declaring those things there. It is done. It is done. Your faith begins to grow. A time comes inside your heart that you get to a point where what that thing now becomes automatic. You can no longer help but to think of yourself that way. And at that point, your mind has been renewed. God keeps pouring his thoughts into you. And you keep declaring the same objective and the outcome, all right, until that objective becomes a default way of thinking. And then the body moves, all right? And when you are doing this, then you start rejoicing and praising God for the fulfillment of it. Because his righteousness, the revelation, peace, when he enters into your heart, joy in the Holy Ghost. You start rejoicing and joy begins to flow ceaselessly, all right, from a heart that is established in peace. Ceaselessly begins to flow. To rejoice means to enjoy being in possession of it. So when you start rejoicing about the fulfillment of that particular thing, you are enjoying being in possession of it. You are seeing the events, how your condition has changed. You are enjoying it. You are seeing it. But the major thing is choose one. Then set your tongue, and it becomes the business of your life. You are not moving. Prayer, revelation comes concerning it. You push it into it. Power comes, you push it into it. Power comes, you push it. After some time, that thing becomes possible, right? You are no longer even conscious. It's your default mode. That's how you think. You see yourself like that. Then things begin to happen, and that's how. And after you've gotten that, then you can. All right, now choose and say, well, now that I know this thing works, I've practiced it, I know how it works. All right, this is where we are going next. This is the big dog now. I'm going to knock the head of this thing off and go. But let me tell you, if you are believing for six things at the same time, it is scattered. Here, there, there, there. You'll just be praying, Father, praying, praying. It is scattered. Focus on one thing. Get that thing focused. Jesus said, there are combat about by too many things. Only one thing is needful here. Only one thing is needful. Seek for that thing. And all these other things will be added to you if that thing comes to pass. So you keep declaring it. You keep declaring it. You keep declaring it. And it gets ingrained into your consciousness. Have you seen anybody in the Bible that Noah had four assignments from God? Have you seen? Have you seen that four assignments? All he was doing was building the ark. Did Abraham have four or five lands he was chasing at the same time? God gave them that. This is the land, your seed will be mighty in the land. The father of many nations have I made thee on this land. That's all. Focus on it. Stay on it. Break down all the barriers in you. Nothing on the outside. Anything on the outside that changes, that makes you feel it can't happen, shows a weakness, reveals a weakness. Break down all the barriers in you. And it won't be long before the activities that will make it happen will come to pass within your life. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening.